CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday. Wodenstag. Yeah, that's where it comes from. You want to hear a boring story? But yeah, I've told you this one before, haven't I? Woden, Odin, the king of the gods in Norse mythology.
Something.
What did you say?
The Greek something?
No, the Norse god.
Oh.
Odin.
Oh, Augustus or someone.
No, that's the months of the year.
Oof, never you mind.
Yes, yes. We are joined this morning by Sia Sangweni and by Gordon Laws. Hello, Gordon Laws. It looks tremendously cold where you are. You're very cold.
Me?
Yes.
I stay well insulated against the harsh European winter. I'm built for this.
Yes.
It's when you throw me in an oveny Saharan environment that I start to struggle.
Oveny. That's a nice word.
Yes, I have a mental health cat who's also doubles as an insulation device.
Excellent.
And yeah, I can survive the cold for
so
long.
Winter is actually your time to shine.
Yes, yeah. I'm of paleness of skin. I'm built for the harsh European climate.
Now, I'm equally of paleness of skin, but I am certainly not built for the winter.
This is also why my body prepares for hibernation. And since it never gets a 3-month sleep, it always thinks it's carbo loading for the winter.
Your body is prepared for hibernation.
Yes, it's always in a state of thinking that it's hibernating for the winter because it's supposed to sleep for 3 months like my European ancestors.
Ancestors did not sleep for 3 months.
You forget that Gord is descended from bears. That's what you don't understand.
And it's a commonly known fact that European people back in the day used to hibernate, like when we were like dwelling in the mountains of Caucasus and, you know, like living in a feudal tribal system, pasturing, roaming.
There is an argument. I mean, it's quite fallacious, but the idea is that one of the reasons that white people are so light-skinned is because of those 3 months they would spend effectively hibernating when they'd get no sun. And it would affect the melanin and melatonin levels in their skin and in other parts of their body. And obviously the other thing is that, you know, there's much less sun to speak of. So they kind of – the lightness comes from them not having to absorb as much sunlight during those hours.
So they would pack up food and stockpile food for 3 months and just stay in a cave.
No, you eat it. You get really, really fat, right? You plug up your anus, depending. I mean, some people can plug their own anus, but other times you need like a pine cone or a small squirrel.
And you
plug it, and then you sleep in a cave, and you live off your body fat for like 3 months. And when you come out, some animals will come out like once every 2 weeks, have a little
food. You would definitely survive, right?
Yeah, I'd be fine. And I come out all the time, so I'm used to it. But basically, you either come out and poo every 2 or 3 weeks, or you wake up you wake up after 3 months, you're skinny and stuff, but you have a poo the size of a rugby ball that takes you 3 days to get rid of.
Oh.
And then you sleep through the whole winter. And your meat, because this poo has been brewing in you for 3 months before you get to take it, your meat is poisonous for about 2 or 3 weeks after you come out of hibernation, and hunters can't eat you immediately. And it's really because you're very groggy and you're slow.
A lot of shit.
So dare I say it was also a safety mechanism? You know, you were safe and couldn't be eaten for two weeks.
Look, if you fall asleep in the cave.
Don't believe all of this, really.
It is true.
I really don't know where to go with this. Gord, where did you get this information from?
Well, firstly, my ancestry. I mean, it's in my soul.
The Amadlozi is speaking to him every night for the last couple of nights. Yeah.
Who taught you rhythms, yeah? I know hibernating because it's in my DNA. I do it all the time.
So that's all I get, rhythm, while you get to sleep for 3 months.
Yes. We both adapted in ancient times to our environments.
Such bullshit.
Absolutely.
It's not fatally cold for 3 months of the year in Africa, so you've got time to dedicate to learning dancing, whereas my people had to sleep in a cave all wet, and you were lucky if you had a butt squirrel.
in the mountains of Caucasus. Okay.
Yes. You were, the wealthy had butt squirrels, and the poor would find butt squirrels for the wealthy.
Oh, why they use pine cones?
Oh, God. What a lot of nonsense.
I'm ready to write a history exam now.
Yeah, write that in your history exam. You will fail.
Yeah, evolution. My God.
So, who wants to hear the interesting tale of Gareth going to the shops?
I'm here for it.
Are you here for that? All right. So,
I live for these kind of tales.
Okay, here's the story. Once upon a time, Gareth decided he was going to go to the shops because he hadn't been there for a long time and thought it might be a good idea to see if there were clothes that he might want to wear on television for his new TV show. So he girded his loins and he drove into the parking lot of a very large shopping center in Johannesburg. Once there, he realized something was amiss because there were no other cars in the parking lot.
Oh no.
And upon walking through the door and being offered sanitizer 17 times, and having to take it once, he decided to go to the shop which he had in mind. Once inside the shop, he saw that sales of 50 to 70% were going on.
Ooh.
But there was fuck all that he wanted to buy, because it was all the rubbish that they couldn't sell. And none of it was necessarily the kind of stuff that he would have bought anyway, even at full price, let alone this reduced price, which made him suspicious.
Because this particular Gareth was choosy on a good day.
Yeah, I was choosy on a good day, but here's the thing, okay, so I went to this, it's a well-known store, and it's a well-known shopping mall, and I park whenever I have to go there, which is not regularly at all, especially, you know, over the last couple of months of lockdown, I haven't been there at all.
Yeah.
You park like almost on the roof and then you just walk straight in because there's always parking and it's easy to get in, easy to get out. Anyway, the shops were like a ghost town. It was me, one other shopper in this first shop that I went to, and the shop staff. That's it. They had one door open out of their, I don't know, 3-4 doors that they have in this big store, and you have to walk in. Now, every shop that I walked into, and I gave up after shop 3 because I was so sick of being re-sanitized every time, because they spray your hands.
You can get really high on it. If you time your shopping right, you can get super high for free on a shopping trip. I go for the free spritz, man, especially if I'm just been around people. Like, I roll up
I actually joked with the one woman at the door to the one shop, and I said to her, you know, I actually feel dirtier with all the sanitizing than I did when I knew my hands are clean already because I have OCD. So, you know, I usually have like hand sanitizer in the car, but I would do that once. Doing this, your hands, you come out looking like Tutankhamun by the end of this trip. Because
I like it because you feel really sanitized. Like,
I don't know.
The first two lubings with sanitizer kind of clean your, but eventually you get that deep pore clean where you've got nothing. You're just abrasing your actual dermis.
No, it dries you. It dries you the hell out, and it's not good. Really?
Yeah, I take advantage of the free spritz, man. I spritz all on the way in and the way out. But if you spritz on the way out and get directly into your car, you can find yourself quite lightheaded if you literally hotbox your car with turpentine.
Knowing how businesses like to savor a stint and a rant, I also doubt what is in some of those bottles. I'm thinking there's no way some businesses are really buying good quality.
Oh yeah, my buddy Maddie makes chemicals, and they found that their business suddenly from being a small percentage of their business making, kitchen grade hand sanitizers for restaurants and industry. It was like suddenly, you know, from being 20% of our business, it was 90% of our business, and he told me that the kind of standards, whatever they are, ISDN or whatever they're called, I don't know, whatever it is that applies to that industry, like they're very strict. And the government and the demand from the public when lockdown happened was so great for hand sanitizers that they couldn't meet the supply. So people were trying to get anything they can, you know, any over the – because most of them are effective against most things. You know, most of them will do the trick against most things. But if you want a really good one that's like kitchen certified or government certified, there's a lot more to it than just something that says, disinfectant.
I don't mind. I understand these are the rules. That's why I was wearing a mask. And I complied to the rules and got my hands sanitized. But honestly, after you like some shops you walk into and you know after a minute and a half there's nothing in there that you want, right? And then you walk into the next shop and within a minute and a half of your hand sanitized the previous time, you have to have them done again.
Mm.
That's dumb and unnecessary. But eventually I was like so annoyed with the whole process. I found nothing in the shops that I wanted to buy, even though all the prices were reduced. And it's not like I was shopping because I had money just to burn. It was really just a reconnaissance trip. And then I went back. I was so happy to get back in the car. And the funny thing is these sons of bitches charged me for parking.
Of course. How very dare they?
No, but I mean, there's no one else in their stupid shopping mall. So these greedy bastards who are trying to lure us back into their shopping malls are charging us for parking. Now,
the parking, you see, they don't charge you for the fun you're about to have in the full mall. They don't charge you to, like, access the people like the zoo. Now, the shopping mall is full. Parking will be more today. Mm. It's for maintenance and security and stuff.
I know, but
this is part of your experience.
I'm sorry. They've been making a lot of money out of us, and that's how these you know, liberties and these big groups that own all the property. The shopping malls, and charge exorbitant rent, by the way, up to now, to all of their stores, their tenants. They really have. They've charged a lot of money to these guys over the years. And then they charge you for parking, and sometimes that parking can be really expensive too. I mean, I was there for under an hour, and it was like 10 rand or 12 rand or something.
And I'm not sure that like parking is the great barrier to entry as to why people aren't there.
Yeah, I just don't think I'm going to do this. My ultimate conclusion is, I'm not going to the shops again for a very long time and without a very good reason. I will buy what I need to buy online. And the experience was so unpleasant that really, you know, I've been talking about how we need to open up the economy, you know, for the longest time. I was saying this.
Open up your economy.
Yeah.
When it's calling for you. Open up your economy.
There's nothing else you can do.
All the restaurants are closing.
And I'll show you why.
Open up the economy, or people will starve and fucking die.
That's right. In fact, I remember when Gord and I did this song together on this,
we do.
This show. Yeah.
Beautiful rendition.
I mean, I've been saying this since week two of the lockdown. And back then, people were saying, Gareth Cliff doesn't care about people's lives. He only cares about the economy. And now, lo and behold, people are starting to see what the hell I meant. I mean, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so.
And the loneliness of prescience, Gareth.
Despite these well-meaning intentions of like, I'm going to go back and do my bit to start the economy again, and I'll support restaurants. And by the way, today there's a big protest on, and I do think it would be cool if you can, in your neighborhood, if there's a restaurant that you've been missing, and there are people who work really hard, and you're not afraid of going out in the open, because there
Which
are people.
I am a little, I'll admit.
I know you've said so. That's why I'm being respectful. Mm. For those people who do feel like they're vulnerable, obviously don't do anything you don't feel comfortable doing. But for the rest of us who don't give a shit, go out there and support your local restaurant, because they need all the help they can get. They want to get a million people sitting outside in South Africa at restaurants and coffee shops and protesting, basically, that the government have been extremely unwilling to accommodate these places, which are run on a knife's edge in terms of a margin. They make their money from selling alcohol. They very seldom make their money from food. And they've been struggling. Those families, those people who own those restaurants, those people who work in those restaurants, they have been struggling. They have been finding it really difficult over the last almost 5 months to put food on their families' tables. Think about that. It's almost half a year, huh? And if you can help them.
I know about it well, because I'm in a very similar position, except that I don't have massive overheads. Like, I don't have staff that I can't pay and bonds on the equipment and, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm struggling just with very, very limited income. Look, it hasn't been completely dead, but what comes in urgently, suddenly, doesn't necessarily pay very well. Things are by no means back to normal. They've gone from 0 out of 10 for 3 months to 2 or 3 out of 10 for 2 months. Still by no means where they need to be. But I think about people whose whole businesses are collapsing around them, who can't pay for their stuff and their staff and they're, you know, getting further and further into debt through no fault of their own and through nothing that they could have prevented. And, you know, also I'm not an expert in this, and I don't want to get too much into it because the whole topic depresses me. But at what point, like, do we take away the furniture of the restaurant owner, and do we then also share and say, okay, well, maybe you're not in a million rand debt to the landlord because your business wasn't operational for 6 months. Maybe the landlord's also a little bit liable for some of that. Like,
you know what, Gord?
I don't know.
At the end of all of the calculations, someone has to pay.
Sure. And that's why I say I feel better for myself, even though when I get down, I think at least I don't have a business of brick and mortar to service as well as no income.
And staff. And, you know, these are, for every person whose restaurant closes down, there are like 10 to 20 to even 50 families, if it's a big place, who are dependent on that place for living. I mean, like, not luxury expenses. It's not people who are going to go and buy a pair of sneakers. It's people who need to feed themselves and their family. You know, you get the point. What I'm trying to zero in on here is that the shopping experience, despite all of my best intentions to be a part of restarting the economy and everything else, despite all of that, I have to tell you that shopping right now is a thoroughly unpleasant experience. You can see that people are not out there yet. They're not willing to go and risk it, maybe for health reasons, maybe because they have no money. But
it's a combination. Both.
I think it's you go out for what you can afford, which is less, and you go out when the risk is acceptable, which is less often. So, you know, I don't think people are like shunning the mall experience now. I just think they're fewer people with fewer money with fewer good reasons to go.
Yeah,
with and fewer money
and
yes, exactly.
But also, you know, we're a country that constantly we hear all the time about our Gini coefficient and how big the difference is between rich and poor in this country, and this is only going to make it worse because rich people are not really affected. In fact, if I had lots of money yesterday, I would have been on a bargain hunting trip.
Because yeah, it's like properties and cars, man. Now's a great time to be collecting both.
Sure, you can go and get stuff super cheap if you have some cash. The point is, very few people have any cash. So I feel like everybody who says, oh, well, this has been a great exercise and it's really allowed us to prioritize and, you know, people have learned to live with less and all of that's true. I'm not going to say it's nonsense, but none of it's helping if you get my drift.
Look,
all right. Okay, I don't want to talk about lockdown all morning.
Yeah, me neither.
Just, but going for the shopping trip that I needed to tell you about.
I don't want to get off the topic of the shopping trip because I fucking hate to shop. Mm. And if I've got to go into a shopping center, the idea of having it deserted for my benefit, that's like
a plus.
That's like when I'm extremely loaded, right? And I've got nothing better to do than squander money is I'm going to get people to scrape the yogurt off the lid of yogurt tubs and make my tub of yogurt only out of lid yogurt, right? So that's like, that kind of shit is what I would do. So I would have to clear out a shopping center for 4 hours so that I could go there and shop and then no other people, and all shop attendants must come to me and ask me if I need help, if they see me looking for stuff and want to help me. I must not have to go find shop attendants. My favorite thing in the world, the thing that will trigger my inner Karen more than anything is when there's more staff than customers and you can't find someone to help you. There's 8 staff, 4 customers, and you searching for a person to talk to.
And the staff are all talking to each other.
Yeah, about you. And I've got like
about you.
Deep-seated childhood trauma. Dude, not all white people are good at vernac, but if you've lived in this country 39 years and haven't still been able to pick up a few keywords when people are making fun of you for being fat and white, then you haven't been paying attention.
Oh, Lord.
You know, it's like basic greetings. You just osmose it over time. But I hate the hunting and – so it's hunting and gathering, right? You tell me, like, dude – in there is definitely the thing you want. Yeah. Your challenge is to go in face first, fucking get it, drag it out, and get it home.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, cool, I got it. You sure it's in there? It's in there. It's running around. Mm-hmm. Go get it and bring it out. Speed is the exercise.
Yes.
Whereas my mom would drag me with her to Woolworths. I still can't – when Woolworths had a big shopping section, I still can't stand the smell of it because it reminds me of being a child, taken in there for what was probably 20 minutes but felt like 19 hours, made to walk around a store where you're not allowed to talk or touch anything so that your mother can try on shit. She knows she's not going to buy – oh, that's lovely. I'm not going to buy that. Let me spend 10 minutes. Shut up. Stop asking questions. Don't touch anything. Stand there silently. Oh, that's beautiful. I'm not going to buy that. And like, let's go and look and see if any fucking berry or flower or shrub pops out at me, and I'll examine it and possibly put it in my basket. I'm like, I'm walking around the fucking savannah, and I'm not even sure if there's prey here. I have to search. I'm looking for a particular thing, and I've got to search the whole store in case it's here.
Gosh, you made your childhood sound so horrible.
I always, like, obviously now I don't have money to play with, but under normal circumstances, I would much rather pay more to have someone hand it to me than pay less and have to go find it. The idea that I'm looking for something that might not be here at all. Mm. Like, you're telling me, dude, it's guaranteed it's here. I'll make a game of finding it. But if by halfway through searching the store, I'm like, shit, I don't know if they even have
all
this.
All right, but this is also, in evolutionary psychology, this is precisely what you've already identified, hunter and gatherer behavior. Hunter behavior is what you prefer, and your mother was a gatherer. And usually it breaks down lines of gender. And even though there are, you know, modern gender studies people who will tell you, no, this is all a social construct, deep down inside, this is evidence that we actually think differently, men and women, and that our evolutionary roles developed differently as a result. Men go out, they hunt, they get in the car, and they go home.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes have in our heads, there's a list or there's one or two things. It's not complicated. Men are quite simple-minded when it comes to this stuff. And when you get home with the carcass, you put it out on the table and you say, look, I've provided.
Nice shiny pair of Adidas carcasses.
Right.
The exact ones you wanted in your size. You went up to a man and said, hello, man. I'm looking for this.
Women gather. So what they do is they will go to various
socials. Sorry to interrupt you, GC, but I'd just like to say up front, I didn't make this a men and women issue.
No.
But I do agree with you.
To what extent it's
evolutionary, to what extent it's socialized into people. You definitely get male gatherers. Sure. You definitely get female hunters. But I agree with you that it's skewed along those lines. Why? I don't want to comment on. But I just wanted to throw that in.
Why? Because, again, of childbirth. You know, you can't be a hunter if you're also giving birth to and nurturing the children, which is not men's primary skill. Now, I know this pisses off like...
Not part of this.
But it's not controversial. And if you think it's controversial, it's because you've been raised badly and you haven't been given the information at an early age. And now it jars with your concept of how the world should be.
Or just looking at where we come from.
Right.
But I mean, I do...
Hold on. What you think should be is not how things actually are all the time. So you have to abandon your fantasies of... You know, everybody's exactly the same, and realize that this is why we break down along these lines. And this is also why people are attracted to certain things and pushed away and repelled by others. So women in ancient times, early man times, there wasn't any of this, you know, equal opportunity career stuff. So men were meant to hunt. Shitty hunting men never got to breed. So the only ones who got to pass on their genes were good hunters. So deep down in all of us, every single person who's alive today, there is a strong hunter strain, right? And deep down in us, there is a strong gatherer strain, which we get from our mothers. Because, believe it or not, the women didn't sit at home just raising the children. They were also out gathering berries and gathering firewood and
doing women's things.
Yes, but also talking to each other a lot, which helped to determine the way that we grew socially. Yeah. And
who's sketchy and who's not.
Well, precisely. This is where gossip becomes more important to women than it does to men. Again, these are generalizations. So if you're a feminist with purple hair, don't get upset with me about this. This is well documented. It's not controversial. Just because it doesn't gel nicely with the way you see the world doesn't mean it's not true. It could mean that you actually have a very lopsided view of the world. Anyway, so the women by evolutionary design are good at finding stuff. And this is why they like to bargain hunt. They like to collect. Generally, there are obviously men.
Yeah, you get men that are also gatherers, and you get women who are very effective hunters.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But that's a much more recent phenomenon, and it's as
Do
a result.
Think male gatherers had to come out to their parents at some point and be like, "Listen, guys, I'm not going on this hunt." But yeah, it's all evolutionary. It's the same as like my hunting instinct, you know, like kicks in if it's like beeline straight for the prey, get in, get out, you know. Uh-huh. But if you leave me wandering the Woolworths for long enough and it's cold, I'll find a nice corner where there's some linen and I'll wrap myself up in there and I'll go to sleep, and they might only find me 3 months later in the towel section having a really epic poo that takes the whole day. That's why bears hibernated with rabbits.
Hey, because, see ya.
Of course you're bringing up rabbits now.
When they had their epic poo, they could use the rabbit.
Hey, we'll get to the rabbits. We've had a weekly update on the rabbits, and Leanne asked me about it on Monday, and I had to kind of repeat some of the stories.
Rabbits are a big recurring theme now.
I know.
Part of the show.
For people who don't give a shit about rabbits, because now I'm getting memes about rabbits on social media from people who listen to the shows.
This is the life of rabbiting, Gareth. Welcome to it. You're part of a close-knit community. I mean, we're few in numbers, but we're everywhere.
So just before we get to the headlines for this morning, Sia has, speaking of gathering, discovered de-alcoholized wine, which he says may be our saving grace.
Our saving grapes.
Saving grapes.
Saving grapes. Amazing
grapes. How sweet the taste. With no booze here at all. I'll drink and walk on a tightrope and I won't even fall.
Oh, God.
This booze is juice. This juice is booze. Either way you look at it, you're going to fucking lose. It's bad juice or weak booze. It's bad at both of the things.
Wait.
Good. Let's write a musical.
Dude, I exist in song. Not very good song and almost never in key. But, like, I think in song, and my neighbors, I promise you, if you microphoned my house generally, but especially under lockdown, there would be O's with nets and white suits and a van here in the day. I hear what I'm singing or saying. Sometimes I become conscious of it and I'm like, what the fuck? What part of your mind thinks it's okay to say that? I mean, it's not like hateful racism or like, it's not horrible kind of shit, but it's just like totally fucking insane.
It's pure id.
It's more insane than nasty, basically.
It's pure Freudian id.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's not normal and I should have been fucking helped with it as a child.
So, Sia, you've tried this horrible shit?
No. So look, it's different to alcohol-free products. This is wine that has had the alcohol taken out of it. So it still smells like wine and it still relatively tastes like wine. It just doesn't get you buzzed. You know, those alcohol-free things are just essentially juice. It's like grape ties and there's no fun there. But I think for your psychological pattern, I bought it. I thought, well, screw it. I really put it in a wine glass and to have that smell. And I had it while I was like relaxing at home. I think this will be my saving grace over the next couple of weeks.
I think that sounds like that erotic dream you have from time to time where you can't finish and your dream end up becoming more and more fucking bizarre and desperate because your mind is doing one thing and your body mechanically is trying to react to it and you end up being a male turtle swimming after a flock of female turtles. Just unable to catch them.
Of course, I've not done Harvard studies around this, but you know how people who are trying to quit smoking, vape, or have those e-cigarettes just so that they get that feeling of something between their fingers and they can drag at something. I think this similarly helps. You get that smell. You get that taste. It's just not fun that you don't get drunk.
Some of the messages quickly. This is from... someone says, Sia, Sandy says, Sia, you should make a Gord Sings the Tunes album. There's enough material from over the years.
I swear we now do.
Yeah.
Just one day when we're off, we'll just play a replay between 6 and 8 of Gord singing.
My buddy James is in a very good Joburg band called Facing the Gallows. They internationally signed metal band, but unless you're into metal, you might not have heard of them. But to the 7 listeners, the dude in Facing the Gallows is an old friend of mine. We used to be in a band together, and he's brilliant. And I voice note him. When you're in a band with somebody, even if the band's not successful, if you take it seriously, you end up kind of doing a thing 3 times a week with the same bunch of guys, and it becomes quite a – I don't know, it's got something like this relationship people get from being in sports teams. And I voice note him the most outlandish shit, but little do I know that he, for 5 years he's been saving it all. Okay. And then he played it for the whole band, and they considered using like an edit of some of the craziest shit for an intro to one of their songs. And I begged them not
That's
to.
That's cool.
Just, well, it is, except the shit that I'm saying is not representative of what I actually think about the world. It's an exercise in trying to be shocking. So if you took it out of context.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I see what you mean. Carol says, thank you for mentioning the protests about the restaurants. We have two, and it has been really difficult. I hate the fact that people who have been working for us for nearly 35 years are soon to be without an income. No, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Carol. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
A restaurant here in Johannesburg did a post around the staff, and each staff member was holding up the dependence that they have, and it like humanized it for someone to put up a post and, you know, say I'm raising three kids as a single mother, or I am taking my younger siblings through school, and it's like yeah, it hits home.
Yeah. All right, let's do some headlines quickly. There are a few things going on in the world that we need to pay attention to, even if they're kind of serious compared to talking. So here it is.
Now, over to Gareth for the headlines today. In the studio, Gareth Cliff with your headlines. Take it away, Gareth.
Gareth Cliff.
A date has been set by the International Monetary Fund to decide on South Africa's request for financial assistance. This is really where our government get evaluated, instead of just by us, the people, who they don't care about and don't listen to. Now, because they're going to someone for money, they have to actually hear what people think of them. This is going to be very tough for people in the ANC to countenance, because they thought they were above the law. But now, Tito Mboweni's announced his supplementary budget speech that South Africa has approached the IMF, as you know already. But the meeting comes after months of engagements, and it'll start next week between National Treasury and IMF management. South Africa wants 4.2 billion rand. Mboweni has said that the loan will not undermine national sovereignty, but they want to also launch an airline. I mean, do me a favor. The IMF better come back with some serious restrictions on what they can and can't spend the money on. Because this government, it's like giving a child sweets and just saying, have them whenever you want. You know what children are like. It's like putting a bowl of food in front of a dog that just doesn't stop eating. That's what we're looking at here.
It's also a way of comforting them.
Well, yeah.
When you just fight and fight and fight all the time.
Yeah. And
their home lives are unstable and miserable. I mean, it works.
Correct. The High Court in Johannesburg has ordered poet and activist Ntsiki Mazwai to stop making further statements regarding media personality DJ Fresh after she called him a rapist on social media. This girl's so out of control, man. You know, I've had her on my show before, and she's such a thoroughly unpleasant person. Just unpleasant. Completely from head to toe. And she's got a brain. There's no doubt that she has the ability to be really creative and clever. And I admire that in anyone, even someone who's a total disaster of a person. But in this country, Ntsiki Mazwai represents a certain kind of person in society who constantly feels hard done by, despite the fact that she is her own worst enemy. She looks for trouble with people who are frankly out of her league. She thinks that she's important because her sister's important. And her sister's actually achieved quite a lot in her life, you know. Tandiswa. And Siki's not a success by any margin or measure. But she talks a big game. And she's loud. And she's outrageous. And she just shut her mouth sometimes, because now she's got herself into trouble. So Fresh had to take her to court, because she posted this thing on Facebook arguing that she had evidence to back up her claim that Fresh is a rapist. And it all has to do with a story from long ago where it involves Penny Lebiane. And frankly, I don't even know the details of this story, but it sounds like nonsense. And
yeah, as of yesterday,
you cannot go around calling people rapists or, frankly, racists or sexists or any of this stuff without some consequence. Just like there are consequences for those people, there are consequences for you if you're talking shit.
As of yesterday, Penny Lebiane had also threatened DJ Fresh with legal action, giving him the 5 p.m. deadline, saying that if he hasn't responded to her allegations by 5 p.m., that she will take further legal action. He didn't, and so it seems like she will be.
Well, she, this Tsiki Mazwai, who she's not saying she was raped by Fresh, by the way. It's almost like she's a third party talking about this, like she knows things. Which, okay, if you know things, then give it to the public prosecutor and let them prosecute him. Otherwise, shut your mouth. Because she wasn't the one who was involved in the situation, from what I can tell. And Fresh says it's absolute nonsense. So he had to take her to court to stop her from talking shit. So the judge on Tuesday ordered Mazwai stop infringing on Skwane's, that's Fresh's surname, dignity, freedom, and security, as well as the right to privacy, is guaranteed in the Constitution. And I feel sorry, because obviously Fresh is a friend of mine. I feel sorry for him that he's had to go to these lengths. And by the way, I mean, I wouldn't support him if he had done something like this, even though he's a friend of mine, because we know what a problem we have in this country with gender-based violence. But in every case, you have to look at the merits of the case. And this Tsiki Mazwai is just talking smack.
Now, you can't just go making baseless statements without evidence. Like, I've always been convinced that Fresh is genetically modified, because he never goes off. But I don't go throwing that out in the public domain without any proof. He's from Woolworths. Otherwise, he'd be DJ's nail.
I don't want to talk.
I don't know how, but Tandiswa Mazwai managed to find a lawyer who would argue for her. And that lawyer said she did not cause... Yeah, Nsiki. She did not cause any Nsiki. She did not cause any reputational harm to Skwane, because she was not the original author of the Facebook post. I'm sorry. We know well enough now that social media, there is a cost to you spreading bullshit on social media. And as Emma Sadler said to us before, you are responsible for things. Even if you didn't do the original post, if you share it, and it's fake news, or it is harmful or defamatory, you're in for the same amount of money as the person who wrote the original post. So you've got to be careful what you share. So that's an interesting story. I suppose to some people it's controversial, it's gossip. But the real story here is, don't go and spread shit on social media if you can't prove it's true, and if it's defamatory, because the court will issue an order for you to stop. And there probably will be costs further down the line. Anyway, and certainly she'll pay the costs of this. 11 people, including two minors, were arrested in Cape Town on Tuesday following a break-in at a liquor store. Now, I spoke about this 2 weeks ago when the president decided. Yeah, he said on Sunday night, no more liquor sales, right? And I warned that this doesn't give owners of liquor stores much time to secure their place, because they thought, oh, well, we'll open for business tomorrow. But unless they put special security measures in place, desperate people and people who want to indulge in the underground illegal liquor trade would have seen Sunday night as the perfect opportunity to rob said stores so that they could sell the stuff. And this is precisely what's happened.
Even if they have security measures in place, I mean, dudes are being very innovative about getting around them. You said these guys used miners. So they obviously went under the store.
Well, there was a story about a tunnel. There was a story about a tunnel that was dug in Brompton.
Sia appreciates me. The audience don't get to hear Sia's appreciation face that he sometimes does when there's a special moment where only Sia appreciates my joke. And it makes it worth it.
I didn't connect the two, but why were there two miners? I think it's more than just a coincidence. That's
tunneling.
A great plan.
It's obvious tunneling.
Then there's a guy called Patrick Gillingham, who is going to be summoned to testify before the Zondo Commission. Former Correctional Services Chief Financial Officer. Imagine being the Correctional Services, Prisons Financial Officer. He's going to be issued with a summons, that's Patrick Gillingham, to appear on in front of the Zondo Commission. And he's scheduled to appear because they've served him a notice. Despite the commission's efforts to obtain an undertaking that he will appear, he's failed to make contact. So he's avoiding them for some reason. And they've now decided, no, you have to pitch up. He's obliged to appear on a date, blah, blah, blah. The commission has halted proceedings for Wednesday and Thursday. They just can't handle that much corruption in 1 week. Everyone needs a break from corruption, even Judge Zondo. Yeah. Meanwhile, Gwede Mantashe was also scheduled to give evidence and cross-examine former Basasa Chief Operating Officer Angelo Agrizi. Mantashe is, however, currently in hospital with COVID-19. And did you see in the news yesterday that Tulas Ngesi is also in hospital with COVID-19?
Yep, he's 61 years old. I didn't know he was
all
that old.
All these old and fat ministers are... Now you know why the government was so afraid of this COVID thing. Because it's
going to... What are you trying to say, Gary?
Well, because they only care about things that affect them. They weren't interested in ordinary people in South Africa. They were worried about themselves because they're all suffering from 5 or 6 comorbidities. Now you find out the real truth, why our government suddenly decided, oh, lockdowns and, you know, and let's get the hospitals ready and all that other claptrap that they were suddenly farming out.
There's so many politicians who now have the virus.
Yeah, and without sounding too happy about that, because obviously I don't want anyone to die of this thing. Anyone. I really don't wish anyone would die of it. But it is kind of gratifying that the people who usually think they're untouchable are suddenly having to deal with this the way ordinary people have for a couple of months.
Yeah, two are hospitalized currently. Nosviwe Nolthando Maphisa Nqakula is positive. Tulas Ngesi Gwede, Job Mokgoro, Premier of the Northwest, Alan, the Premier of Western Cape, and David Makhura, Premier of Gauteng, all have the virus currently.
Yeah, so
Nqakula recovered.
So let's all not take too much joy in the fact that politicians are also suffering like the rest of us. But clearly, I mean, I don't wish any ill on these people in terms of horrible things happening to them. I hope they recover like most people do from COVID. Let's see what happens. Anyway, so this guy's going to have to go and talk to the Commission of Inquiry because apparently Gavin Watson of Bosasa had told him, that Agrizi guy, remember him, to take care of Gillingham's wife because hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. He told the commission when Gillingham was suspended and ultimately resigned, Bosasa paid him 110,000 rand a month. That Bosasa was just really there to catch the worst people and keep them in money. That's all it is. It's just unreal how basic all these bureaucrats and these politicians are. So this Gillingham has to appear now and testify. Good. New York would go to court to stop Donald Trump from sending federal troops to the city to quell rising crime, Mayor Bill de Blasio said on Tuesday. You know, this is like the story that we saw about Portland the other day. And you remember on the TV show, I spoke to a guy called Peter Boghossian who lives in Portland. And he wants to move. He wants to leave the city that he loves because he said crime is out of control. You've got rampaging mobs of people who are destroying property. And damaging stuff and setting fire to police cars. The police are afraid to do anything because it's not a safe environment for the police. And why would you risk your life against an angry mob when someone calls you to say someone's broken into your property?
And Sting's a pacifist anyway, so don't know how much use they'd be. Sorry.
What was that?
Where did Sting's a pacifist anyway. The police, they can't do anything.
Sorry, I just thought. That was a few steps I had to take to get you.
It's early.
Usually I catch on quite quickly, Gord. But anyway, Donald Trump has said, you know what, de Blasio, who's this really piss-poor mayor of New York. I mean, New York crime has skyrocketed. And if you think Black Lives Matter in New York, you're wrong, because Mayor Bill de Blasio doesn't seem to care that more black people have been shot in the last month and a half in New York than in the whole of last year combined. And, of course, those black lives don't seem to matter. But he's happy to paint a mural on Fifth Avenue in front of Trump Tower saying Black Lives Matter. It's amazing how everything's become about performing. It's all about showing that you care instead of actually doing something about things.
It's marketing, bro. It's posturing.
Correct.
It's same as, you know, there was no real cartoon cheetah that liked to play video games, but kids bought cheetahs because of it anyway. There's no real caring politician that wants to do fuck all, but you'll buy it if the marketing's right.
Oh. Well, this Bill de Blasio then says, don't send federal troops in because we will go to court to stop you. But at the same time, I'm going to do nothing to make the lives of New Yorkers safer. Can you tell there's something wrong here? Do you have to be higher IQ to figure out how dumb that is? Like, Mayor de Blasio, sort out your city, and then you won't have to deal with threats from the federal government that they're going to come and restore order because ordinary citizens are afraid of being killed or having their stuff burnt, stolen, or destroyed. Surely that should be your priority. But he's so busy virtue signaling that this guy can't sort out my favorite city in America. Get your shit together. He's the most unpopular mayor in living memory, this Bill de Blasio. But God, that doesn't stop him from trying. Doesn't stop
Mayor's going mayor. Yeah, New York's a kick-ass place, man.
It is such a kick-ass place, but it's just, it's nothing like it should be. And I know, I've got friends, they send me videos the whole time. And this one mate of mine sent me this video just 2 days ago of a Shake Shack that he and I had a burger at last year in October. And I was sad because the street's abandoned. And it feels like a ghost town. And New York is never abandoned. New York, yeah. New York is New York's the most a lot lively. Of things,
Abandoned is not one of them.
No.
So there was, yeah, my homie Rocco from... My homie Rocco from Brooklyn also, I mean, he's in the same position as restaurant people here. He's a barman. That's how we got to be friends with him. The restaurant he works at, Carmine's, is closed. They people can come collect stuff. Mm-hmm. But he's also, man, like, it's no joke. I follow him on social media, and he's battling. Oh. I mean, the dude's a barman and actor, and not great time if you live in New York to be in either of those industries.
Well, now, Gord, you wanted to talk rabbits, so let's get into it.
Rabbit time to find out if they are doing fine. Gandalf the Grey, Friesland the Black, what's happening? Let's talk about that with a wobble and a wiggle and a hoppity hop. Gareth's telling us about his rabbits.
Well, I don't know what update you want. I haven't seen any of them for...
Oh, fuck. That's the last update we wanted. Well, we did not want to know that. Have you seen an increase in predatory bird activity in the area?
Well, there may have been, but I was unaware of it while the rabbits were hopping around my garden looking content. But either I thought there could be a possibility, you know, I've said already that they've been eaten already. But
or frozen, died of exposure.
Yeah, that's another one. But the other possibility is that the actual owners of said rabbits, who have been mysteriously absent, perhaps found them in the road outside. And decided
I thought
to,
they were communal property of the estate. I thought you lived in one of those utopian estates where...
Yeah, but they must have been introduced by someone, right?
Like it's from the Truman Show, and there's just bunnies.
It sounds like it bothers you that Gareth does not sit outside and just scout more rabbits, because he actually has, you know...
No, I started off as me being fascinated for the fact that there was just a rabbit in the garden, and Gareth mentioned it like there was nothing. It's like, we were talking about something totally else. It almost certainly had to do with corona or fucking gender politics. And he was like, I was staring out my study window one day, just looking at the rabbits frolicking, and I was really thinking about X, Y, and Z. And I was like, wait, hang on, what? And then... He just also described how Friesland had the black and white patches. And then it was like, I don't know where the rabbits come from. They're just here. And then we were talking, I'm like, well, that's not normal. We don't usually have pastoral rabbits in Johannesburg, but then, or Pretoria. But then also we started talking about apocalypse survival because we were at that stage of lockdown where it was still interesting to talk about that sort of thing and not a horrifying possible reality. Right, and I was saying how you can breed rabbits easily and their pelts are useful. So in the summer, breed them hard, and then in the winter, you've got meat and pelts. And so then Friesland disappeared.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's when Gandalf the Grey appeared. And now then I was like, people's theories were like, oh, no, they've just frozen to death because it's winter. They'll get new ones in spring. And I just really want to know that Friesland's okay. And if not, what fucking happened?
Well, I'm sorry. So, I have no means of satisfying either of those two of your needs. The first need that he's not okay. If he was okay, he'd be grazing on the grass in my garden, right?
Did you not upset him? You didn't take a political stance that he doesn't. Because Friesland is both black and white. So he's very conflicted on political issues because he kind of hates himself, but then he's also very defensive about it.
No, I certainly didn't upset him.
It's a new possibility. Let's not throw it out.
Anyway, but so you said Gandalf has been spotted.
No, Gandalf's gone. I haven't seen any rabbit for 4 weeks.
In the ongoing developing case of Gareth's rabbits, another week goes by, another week of hoping, waiting, and the silence screams deafening volumes.
Why did you want to link this to dinosaurs? That's what I don't understand.
Did I?
I think so.
Oh, no, I just wanted to talk about how cool it is that dinosaurs had feathers and that, you know, like...
I'm serious. Where did you get your information from?
Okay, but we're segueing now. So for the audience, we asked to submit suggestions as to what we'd like to talk about so that the others can give it some thought.
I've given it some thought. I know what you mean.
I seldom provide suggestions because I just talk shit and it never goes according to plan. But one of my suggestions was just the fact that dinosaurs and their tails, so it wasn't related to the rabbits. It's been hypothesized for a long time. Well, it's basically, I mean, unless you...
No, they found archaeological evidence.
Yeah, unless you like the staunchest type of science denier on a flat earth level or a on those sort of levels.
Yeah,
a 5G kind of level. Unless you totally scientifically, deliberately, willfully ignorant, it's hard to deny that birds clearly evolved from dinosaurs. The same as it's hard to deny that all mammals clearly have a common ancestor because we're so similar. So they've hypothesized for a long time that dinosaurs may have had feathers. I don't know when feathers came into the evolutionary timeline, but most modern birds descend from raptors. So people think that you evolve according to a need. They think like, okay, well, we live on a tree. We're an insect and we live on a tree that looks like this. So let's evolve to look like that as a survival strategy. It's random. So it probably initially developed as a kind of plumage to attract mates. And also because they're very good, they're a very effective form of insulation. They're lightweight. They've got hollow tubes down the middle and then fluff on the outside. And so the weight to fur ratio, the structural stability, feathers are good for lots of things and not just flight. So as they developed feathers, some of them probably found that they were better at hopping and skipping and jumping than the others.
I mean, we're talking over millions of years here.
Yeah,
but there were two kinds of dinosaurs, as I recall. I'm going from memory here. No, but in terms of their evolutionary path that they followed. So they're theropods and there are sauropods. And as I understand it, sauropods were the big kind of lumbering, more herbivorous dinosaurs.
Four-legged, yeah.
And the theropods were the ones like the carnivorous ones.
Well, they were all four-legged, but some had, you know, more bipedal than others.
Well, I mean, don't tell me Tyrannosaurus' front legs did any useful
thing. Yeah, it had them. They just evolved to be not...
they're constant. You just have to hop on the internet and type in like... T-Rex memes.
T-Rex arm problems. Yeah,
correct. And they couldn't make their own beds and they couldn't...
masturbate, which is why they were angry.
Yeah. So apparently the... Don't say
to something like that.
So what they've done is they've looked at fossils of certain... You know, there were the three periods, the Triassic, the Jurassic, and then the Cretaceous period. And again, I'm going on memory here. But as you see these... dinosaurs evolve, and some of them went extinct, and then there was the Great Extinction at the end of the Cretaceous period, right? Where supposedly, and this is now again uncontroversial, it's mostly established fact. There's at least agreement and very little controversy in the scientific community that there was this asteroid that smashed into the Earth and that eventually wiped out most of the dinosaurs. But as Gord is saying, there were these transitional species like the Archaeopteryx, which they've found... Archaeopteryx. And they've found in the fossils, they found imprints of feathers.
Yeah.
So it's indisputable now.
You're talking about now is like an impression in the rocks. So you don't have the actual skeleton. You've got the impression as if you pressed a key into Prestick.
Yes, correct.
Of the impression that the skeleton that was there left in the rock.
Correct.
Where there's now a negative, if you know what I mean. There's a hole... There's a skeleton-shaped hole. But they found those like lines that suggest there were feathers there, but they can't be 100% sure. The same way as everything about how we reconstruct dinosaurs from their bones is purely speculation. So them being leathery, having their skin very close to their skeletons, it's all just a best guess, right? We don't know what the outside of dinosaurs looked like, what their skin was like, but we know they were reptiles for various reasons that we find stuff in their skeletons that's present in modern-day reptiles, and also just because there's plenty of ways to figure out if something was a reptile. So we can assume certain things, like they wouldn't have been covered in fur. But the point is now, Myanmar and Burma have always been very conflict-heavy zones, and they're the places of some of the worst human rights violations historically and ongoing today. Literally, Rambo, the second last Rambo movie, self-titled Rambo, was set in Myanmar because that was statistically the most violent place in the world.
I call it Burma, just to fuck with them, because
Yeah, well, I don't know the politics behind it.
It's only called Myanmar because of the military junta who took over there and locked up Aung San Suu Kyi, who, by the way, used to be a human rights activist and is now part of the problem, according to many people.
Well, that area, they've got massive deposits of natural fossilized amber, which is where tree sap fossilizes and becomes pressurized underground and becomes almost a stone. So it's like a beautiful, shiny, semi-transparent yellow rock that you can see into.
Right.
And stuff gets trapped in there and very well preserved. So they've now found several pieces of small raptor dinosaurs, usually the tail, intact, even in some cases with part of the DNA genome able to still be mapped, because DNA degrades over time, and that's why they can't check if the thing had fur or leather or what. Mm-hmm. But anyway, moral of the story is they found dinosaur meat with feathers on it, and they've discovered that the feathers came first and then flight. So dinosaurs ran around with feathers for the shits and giggles of having feathers, and then over time, things with feathers figured out how to fly, as opposed to things were flying and then they grew feathers to help them fly better. It's very interesting. And the primitive feathers have got loads of – they can see, like, what part of the feather structure
– this is the
the nerd time.
Yeah, the last 5 minutes was amateur nerd time, because neither Gord nor I are evolutionary biologists.
Sure, but the point is that the debate is – the theory is basically proven.
Sorry, Sam,
and
what
the debate
you say?
Is basically settled.
I said if it's amateur, it still sounds very convincing, though.
Yeah, dinosaurs had feathers. That's the point.
Plus, we digressed for a short lesson on Myanmar's history.
Yeah, / Burma, depending on political alliances.
All right, very good. That's enough for us to chew on for the first hour this morning. But luckily for you, we've got another hour still to come.
Yes.
And I've got lots of messages that I want to get to from all kinds of people. I also speak to Phil Kutzer, who we've spoken to before. That he's apparently got some really interesting things to tell us about what you could do to get a better car during lockdown, and how you can you don't necessarily need to trade down. So he's got some useful advice for us there as well. That's coming right up. Your messages 0797482090. Sia Sangweni's here, Gord Laws is here, I'm here, and you're here. CliffCentral.com.